Wolf and Wookie, a WDW podcast, is brought to you by Enchanting Escapes by Lori. Lori and her team are there to help you plan your dream vacation. So whether that's Disney, Universal, or any other destination, the Wolfpack can leave the details to them and enjoy the beauty of your destination without the hassle of the planning. Now, I'm sure you're asking yourself, Wolf, why in the world would I want to pay someone to plan my vacation? You're all about giving the tips, the Wolf tips. Well, luckily, it is completely free to utilize their services. Having to pay someone more is a complete misconception. Utilizing the master planning of Lori or one of her team members will actually save you money by always price monitoring and applying deals or promotions to your reservation. They are the ones that have to stay on hold for hours so that way you don't have to. Disney actually pays them to take care of your every travel need. And they're also there to deal with any problem that may arise while you're visiting the park. So instead of spending your valuable time at the front desk, you could be in the parks with your family while Lori is on the phone dealing with any problem. Are you interested in a free quote? Head over to enchantingescapesbylori.com and let Lori start planning your dream vacation today. Again, that's www.enchantingescapesbylori.com. Wolfpack, a picture is truly worth a thousand words. And one thing we talk a lot about on this show is making sure you remember those vacations with the people that you love. So whether you're coming to Florida to visit Disney or even its surrounding areas, Hinson Photography specializes in vacation portraits for everyone. This is a wonderful souvenir that you and the ones you love will absolutely never forget. Visit Hinson Photography, so that's H-I-N-S-O-N, photography.com, or call 386-478-8099 to learn more about booking vacation portraits with Hinson Photography. Again, that is Hinson, H-I-N-S-O-N, photography.com, or call 386-478-8099 to learn more about the packages that they offer. Hiya, pals. Welcome to the show. I am, of course, the Wolf of Main Street and Wolfpack. I am bringing back a fan favorite. He's probably got two or three shows now that are probably a couple of our most listened to amongst like the amount of times you've been on here. So, John, I'm excited to bring you back onto the show. John is from Started With a Mouse podcast. He also just recently started a new podcast about hockey. And it's called Five for Talkin'. He does it with a couple guys that he met. If I have this correct, I believe I do. You met them through TikTok and you guys started a podcast. And tell us, John, a little bit about Five for Talkin'. And we'll get into it more later on, too. But just a quick plug for you guys, because it's been something that I've been enjoying listening to.
Basically what had happened was I first reached out to Curtis. There's three of us. There's me, Curtis, and Ed. I first reached out to Curtis because he was going through a little bit of something with his dad. So I just wanted to kind of let him know, you know, I'm here for you and, you know, everything else. You know, I've been there with a sick dad before and it sucks. Yeah. So we kind of went into that and then we just started like messaging each other on like TikTok every day. And then Ed came in when I think around December or January, he came into play. He saw one of my videos. We started talking. And then in, I think it was January or might've been late December. We all reached out to each other on like, we did like a, what is it? Like an iMessage group or whatever, their iPhone. Yeah. And Ed was like, why don't we do a podcast? Like we basically do this through TikTok, except, you know, we're not doing it in a podcast. And I was like, you know what? It'd be fun to talk sports. And the good thing about the podcast that I'm on now, I've had a sports podcast in the past and it was just not a good experience for me. The guy I was with was not very responsible. Sure. So going with them, it's been easier for me because you know, Ed does the editing. All I have to do is just post it, and it makes it a lot easier for me. Curtis is just kind of our hype guy, I guess. He just gets to do the show and enjoy himself. Sure. But it's really fun. It's an hour a week where, no offense to my wife, where she gets to go upstairs and hang out with the dog, and I get to just talk hockey with my hockey buddies.
Sure.
And it's great. And we have a lot of hot takes. We've been having a lot of guests. I'm going to be talking to them this week about bringing you on. I'd love to bring you on and get the Boston Bruins perspective. We had a Boston Bruins fan this week. So I think once the Taylor Hall experience happens for a few weeks, I'm going to try to bring you on to see how you feel about it. But
I'm excited to share my thoughts. but I'll save it for that forum, because the one thing I do really enjoy about your show is you guys get to swear. And you know, for anyone that knows me a little bit more personally, I have the mouth of a sailor.
We both do.
Exactly. So it, you know, that's one thing. I can sit in my truck and I can listen to you guys on my way home, and I can be like, yeah, I can swear with you guys while you're talking. So no, really have enjoyed it. And John, you know, always a pleasure to have you back on the show and hang out with you, man. Like I sort of hit you up and was just like, hey, I kind of want to talk about Game Changers. I kind of want to talk about some hockey and ESPN and, you know, and just get your thoughts on that, because I know that you're a big hockey fan. You've got
not at all by the jerseys behind me. No, I hate hockey.
No, that's it. So I had to adjust rooms, and I had to bring myself up to some of my hockey stuff. I don't know if you can see it, but I've got the little
I can see a few things there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but no, just excited to sort of hang out with you. I wanted to first talk about Game Changers, and I know you've been watching it, and I don't want to like steal the thunder from Started with a Mouse and too much, but I would love to talk to you about it. The trailer came out, and we sort of talked about it then, I believe, that, you know, we were sort of excited. We didn't want to see them go down a lot of the same paths as, you know, the movies did. But what was your initial reaction to the trailer? And what has been your just like initial thoughts of the series so far?
So far, when the trailer first came out, I was really excited, just because, you know, you get that feeling of nostalgia with obviously having the three movies beforehand. And, you know, that was basically like for me and you, that was our like babysitter. We would watch that movie, and, you know, it didn't matter if you watched it 50 times or 100 times.
Yeah.
You know, it was there. But when the trailer came out, I was cautiously optimistic about it, because I was like, some of the things Disney has done where they've redone the movies and stuff have not been my cup of tea. But they've done really well with the Disney Plus series. I've really enjoyed it so far. I feel like they're really trying to bring the Game Changers kind of into the 21st century. Mm-hmm. They've obviously the kid who plays goalie, who was really good at video game goalie.
Right.
He's like almost like the first Twitch streamer. I apologize. Sorry about that. I should have muted my mic.
It's okay.
And then we also have the kid who plays hockey with them that has the $900 skates. Everyone that's ever played ice hockey knows the guy that spends 20 grand on his gear can barely skate. They've hit a lot of like notes for hockey players. The only thing I'm hoping, but I mean, it was kind of in the last episode, that they're going to like kind of stay away from these like fairy tale plays that can't happen in hockey. And I just want real hockey.
Yeah.
I mean, but 90% of it's been real hockey. It's just like that 10% of like Disney magic hockey that like it irks me, but I can live with it at the same time.
So. Well, I think, you know, and to sort of like butt off that a little bit, I do think that a certain element does have to be not childish, maybe that's not the right word, but it does have to be sort of magical the way like you put it, because we're talking about kids. We're talking about kids who don't really have the best of abilities yet. You have Evan, who's pretty good, but you know, other than that, yeah, the rest of the team, like you mentioned, is lackluster at best. So, but I gotta say, I have really enjoyed, I like kind of seeing Gordon Bombay resort back to his early stages of just hating hockey, hating kids. And I was excited to sort of see how they would dig into that, because you have to know, as a fan of the series, as a fan of the show, that like he still loves hockey. There's something underneath that. Like, you know, and I started to think early on, and they sort of alluded to it this past episode, but I started thinking, okay, the Ice Palace must have came from Jans, and, you know, he's probably no longer with us. And I started just thinking, like, this guy's torn down. He, you know, he saw this lovable group of misfits, is what I love to call them, you know, succeed and grow something and become really good. And then they got so good that they started getting arrogant and they started getting way too ahead of themselves. So I definitely have enjoyed it from that sense. I kind of like, I'm going to call her Lorelai because that's what my wife is. But I've enjoyed her character so far. Alex, Coach A, she's definitely been just like the typical mom who's like, no, I don't want to play with hockey pucks yet. No, thanks. We'll pass around the hockey puck, we'll play with the beach balls. Like, I feel like that's what my mom would have done if I actually.
Yeah, probably same here.
but no, like, it's been a really cute series. I think that, you know, for guys like us who can see, you know, sort of the magical moments, if you will, it's definitely been a lot more, I think it's a very family oriented show. Like, anyone could watch it in theory, and enjoy it. So,
I mean, personally for me, I love Alex as the mom. Like you said, she's been a great, she's almost the typical hockey mom in a way. And they've made her that way. Like, she's wears like the hoodies, like sweat, like the yoga pants to the game, you know, she's the coach. And she's really been a great character. I love what her and Bombay, like, their characters are starting to, obviously in every Mighty Ducks movie, there has to be a love interest with Gordon Bombay.
Sure.
And now it's Alex. Yeah. But I really enjoy her character. Like you said, in the last episode, we're starting to see why Gordon started to hate hockey again. But you said, like, deep down, he's never hated hockey. He has always been his number one. And the story that was one thing that kind of, like, was weird to me, I guess I forgot about it, like, where he said, like, he paid for a kid's tape and then he lost, like, his, like, the college told him to, like, okay, tape's like $3. Yeah. Like, if you're going to say something like that, you got to pick something better than tape.
Yeah, buy him like a stick or a pad or like, at least spend $100, you know?
Well, like, the thing is like, hockey equipment's expensive, and most of these like Division One teams, like, their equipment is paid for by like a company or something. And when they said stick tape, out of all things, I'm like, okay, you could have went like, he needed his jerseys and I paid for them, or like something. I'm just like, stick tape?
Yeah.
But I do think it's cool because they did mention in that scene that he now plays for the New York Islanders.
Yeah.
Which I think is going to bring in a character, a player maybe from the New York Islanders. Oh, I'm not sure I'm not sure who it's going to be.
Yeah.
But I just feel like with them saying that line, I'm like, okay, there's probably like a 95% chance there's going to be a New York Islander coming on the show. And then also, I think once Bombay gets into it, we're going to start seeing some of the old Mighty Ducks. I really do.
I almost hoped, and I don't know if you feel this way too, but I do sort of sometimes wish that the show had a almost like a Boy Meets World element where we see him at school and, you know, we find out, like, through, because we know as fans that one of the teachers that he has, like, this English teacher is, you know, one of the kids that was on the original team.
Yeah.
Or the gym teacher, whatever.
Yeah. Something like that.
You know, I almost do hope and wish that they would put something like that in there, like, to surprise us, like, oh my God, you know, Fulton's the gym teacher. And he's, you know, he's still lifting, like, you know, that would be cool. But I don't necessarily know if they'll go in that direction, but it would be like, you know, like we sort of just talked about, it would be cool to sort of see them, you know, bring the original Ducks in a unique way. I think that would be sort of a cool and unique way to do it. You know, I don't necessarily want to run into, you know, Goldberg at his, you know, deli shop. I think that would be kind of strange, but, you know, to have like one of them be one of the school teachers, and also not only providing, you know, hockey advice, but also providing sort of that life advice too, because that to me, I think, is always what makes a good television show, is especially for young adults, I guess, is maybe the best way to put it, is the human element, the element that there's something else to talk about other than just hockey. There's a life element to things too. And I do think that they've started to try to get into that with the Twins, and, you know, parents are putting this unnecessary pressure on me to be the best and do the best and all that stuff. So I'll be curious to see. Like, I think the show is good enough for a second season.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad you feel that way too.
I just, like you said, the life lessons that it's teaching, it's like when Nick likes the hot cocoa girl at the rink.
Yeah.
And then Coco Chad, as they were calling him, comes in and like wants to apologize to her, and he like throws away the flowers, and then like Bombay sits him down and like, listen, this isn't going to work, but you're a really good kid. Like right. He's like, they're teaching him life lessons. And like you said, it'd be cool if they did something like that. Like, just like the original Mighty Ducks have been a part of their lives and the kids didn't even know it. Like you said, maybe a teacher, or like maybe they show him like a movie theater they've been going to for a while, and like he's like the man, like Averman's right. The manager, because like he worked at the movie theater.
That's right. That'd be cool.
Like something like along those lines would be awesome. And I really enjoy the series. Only thing that's been bothering me is the one episode a week. And I know that's what Disney Plus is known for. But yeah. God, I would just love to be able to binge this thing already.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, Disney's done such a great job with that just in general. I mean, with WandaVision, with Captain Winter Soldier and Falcon, the fact that they only release one episode rather than just letting you binge it, I think it plays in their favor, because here we are, we're talking about it, we're ready for the next episode, and it's got to generate some more traffic for them. I'm sure that's part of the reason why their subscription numbers just continue to rise, is just simply because of how awesome their content is and has been, and how much we just crave it. It's like, oh my gosh, like I'm ready for the next episode now.
So. I agree with you. We've been watching Falcon and the Winter Soldier as well. We started off with WandaVision, and it's a different way to do it, because I think we're all used to Netflix and Hulu, where they just put the whole thing on and you can just go through and bam, 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 and you're done with it.
Right.
And it's definitely different.
Oh, without a doubt. I'm curious. I know that I listened into it, but I understand that because of the WandaVision series, you folks, you and Kathy went back and you watched, for Kathy's sake, you watched the Marvel movies, the Infinity Saga. You started at the very beginning. You moved along, and I know I gave some suggestions along the way, but ultimately, what did the two of you think? And I'll have to get Kathy back on at some point to get her perspective too. But what did you think? How did you take them?
I loved them. I went into it being a big Iron Man fan, and I think it was just because of his like kind of, I don't know how to say this PG wise, but like just kind of his attitude.
Sure.
But
he's got a level of cockiness to him.
Yeah, that's the word. Cockiness.
Yeah.
I just loved him as a character. And then Captain America became my favorite character through the movies. My favorite line in all the movies, and it's so silly. It's just where he's like in the middle of the battle, and like Groot comes out. He's like, "I am Groot," and then you just see him look over. He's like, "I'm Steve Rogers." I'm like, somebody should have put this on like a matching T-shirt already for couples. Like one person, I am Groot. The other, I am Steve Rogers.
Yeah. Hi, I am Steve Rogers. Yep. And the way that Thor introduces him, it's like, this is my friend Tree. It's so good. It really is.
I love Thor as well. Like you get to see the progression of Thor, like with him being like Fat Thor and everything else. And you get to see, and Thor's character in general, I loved Thor Ragnarok. I think it was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
In the series. I just love the fact that they kind of put Bruce Banner in there as well.
Yeah.
And you get to see the Valkyrie. Am I saying that right?
You got
the
it. Yes, sir.
Okay. The Valkyrie warrior. And she is a great character as well. And I'm glad they brought her into the mix. Like the great thing with Marvel, and me and Kathy have talked about this, is how they develop their characters, and you get to go back and see how they're this way.
Right.
You know, like, and we're seeing that now, even with Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Like why, you know, Bucky is so upset that Sam gave back the shield.
Definitely.
And it's just, it breaks your heart when, you know, you see the scene where Bucky looks at Sam and he's like, well, if Steve was wrong about you, how do I know that he wasn't wrong about me?
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, Jesus, I'm going to cry.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, I've talked a little bit about this, but Falcon and Winter Soldier just hasn't, I don't know, it just hasn't quite hit me yet. I am trying to find the good in it. I haven't been able to see Sam sort of as Captain America, which I think is like the overall premise is a lot of people want that. And I just haven't been able to put those pieces together yet for him. And I'm just waiting for that moment where he really steps up and takes on a leadership role and really propels himself into that role. Mm-hmm. Because I do just sort of feel like right now Bucky is still sort of, you know, he's trying to take a step back, but he's still sort of the person who's like, we should just do this. Like, come on, let's go. but overall it's been okay. I've gotten through it. I would say, and maybe this is a hot take, but I would rather watch the next episode of the Mighty Ducks Game Changers than Falcon and the Winter Soldier right now.
That's just a hot take for you.
yeah. I've enjoyed it more. I have enjoyed it a lot more, actually. But what I will say is that this last episode, I at least saw, especially at the end, there's something happening here where this new Captain America is sort of going off the deep end. Mm-hmm. And I'll be curious to see, you know, if that to me is the moment where Sam has the opportunity now to step up and really prove to maybe even just himself that he can do it, that he was the one that was chosen. And, you know, it's time to put on your big boy pants and get it done. So, but overall it's been all right.
I've talked to Kathy about this, and I know Disney was trying to do like an action show, I'm guessing, kind of like, you know, the ones you see on TV.
Yeah.
And it's been a slow starter. It's been more like about like the friendship between Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which I'm fine with, like to give me like, you know, some context on how they're still friends and everything, which I'm fine with.
Right.
But they keep bringing in more characters and more characters and more characters. And I'm just like, I thought this was just supposed to be about like Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't know. It is a slow starter, but I kind of had the same feelings about WandaVision at the beginning.
Sure.
That it was a slow starter. But the sad part is we only have two episodes left of Falcon and the Winter Soldier at this point. Like,
right.
I'm almost hoping that these next two episodes are real. Like you said, the last episode, the ending, basically was graphic. I did not expect that.
And it was very graphic for what they normally do. It was.
Yeah. It was intense. And like you said, this is the time I think where Sam needs to step up and take the shield back and be like, listen, you're not fit to be Captain America. That's not what Captain America does. Like that. And I'm still waiting for Chris Evans, 'cause I know he's involved in some way, shape or form. Chris Evans is still involved as Captain America. 'Cause there was a thing at the beginning of it where they said,
he's up on the moon.
Yeah. He's up on the moon or something. Yeah. And I'm like, they're going to do something. And Captain, like Chris Evans is going to come down and like, be like smack Captain America across the face and be like, what are you doing? Or like something like that.
Buddy. Right. I handed you the shield for a reason.
Yeah. Sam, what are you doing?
Right. Yeah. I don't know necessarily about that. It would be cool to see. It would definitely be an interesting moment. And I think a lot of people would, it would kind of be like the Luke Skywalker moment of, another series, but I don't know if you've seen. Have you seen The Mandalorian yet?
We have not seen The Mandalorian yet. We're working We're going to be working on Star Wars. That's the next series we're starting, and
perfect.
I think we're going to do Spider-Man after that because she still hasn't seen all the new Spider-Man. She said she's seen the Tobey Maguire ones, but not the Andrew Garfield Tom Holland. Yeah, Andrew Garfield. Sorry.
No, you're good. No, it's Spider-Man, like Tobey Maguire. I don't know. I mean, you're a fan of TikTok, and I'd love to talk more about that in a little bit too. But have you seen the Tobey Maguire TikToks where he's like from his third movie, and he's just like, Yeah, or even the first one, like, I had to beat an old lady with a stick to get this, and he's holding the Thanos, you know, gauntlet. Like, there's so many moments where Tobey Maguire pops in, and I'm giggling and laughing about it.
I loved him as a character, but like, I think we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. With Andrew Garfield, I feel like he was a really good Spider-Man. I mean, he was too cocky to be Peter Parker, because Peter Parker was supposed to be like a reserved kid.
Yeah, dork.
Yeah, and he was a little too cocky to be that way.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed his character, and the Tom Holland that I've seen with Avengers, like, it almost breaks your dang heart when he sees, you know, Tony Stark die, and I'm like, this kid like cannot get away from it. Like, his uncle dies, and then Iron Man becomes his dad for a little bit, and then he dies, and I'm just like, oh my God, I feel so bad for Spider-Man.
Right. Yep, he definitely has. I think Spider-Man has the best story in terms of, you know, stuff that's like relatable, not necessarily relatable, because I don't think everybody loses their uncle and gets, you know, has to live with their aunt. But like, in terms of just like feeling like the dork and wanting these superpowers to take on the bully, I think there's a lot of people out there that have similar moments in life that just say, dang, I wish I could climb up this wall right now. I wish I could
just run away. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but, so John, let's dive in a little bit deeper. So
you liked
Thor Ragnarok, which I was excited to hear. And then, you talked a little bit about Infinity War and Meet and Groot and Steve Rogers. Did anything change? Like, did your thoughts change at all from one stance to another when you finally saw all of them in sort of an order?
I think I gained a lot more respect for Captain America.
Yeah.
Cause I had never seen like the first Captain America. I kind of jumped in weirdly at like, Captain America and the Winter Soldier. So, yeah. I mean, I had seen the movies and, you know, I had a perception going in, but the more I learned about Steve Rogers, the more I was like, okay, he's my favorite character. Like, to the point now where I went to the Disney store this past weekend and I was with Joe and I was like, I have to get a Captain America mask.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. That's cool.
So I went and grabbed one of those, and I really enjoy the comic relief of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And their kind of attitude to the whole situation.
Yeah, when he's just like rolling up the.
Yeah.
Oh, he almost got you there.
Where like, he's like, I just love Quill. I love the fact that like he has the cocky attitude, and the one scene, I think it's in Infinity War, where they're like, who do you serve? And he's like, who? Jesus Christ.
What am I supposed to say? I'm not from Earth. I'm from Missouri.
I love that scene with Peter Quill. Peter Quill is like one of my favorite characters. I've loved Chris Pratt in like Moneyball.
Yeah,
like all the roles he's played in, he's such a funny character, and I think he was perfect for Star-Lord. Like, Disney has done a really good job casting some of these characters, especially for Marvel.
Yep.
Like, I know me and my wife had talked about Anthony Mackie being the Falcon, and he's a perfect fit. Like, Sebastian Stan as Bucky has been the perfect fit. Like, there's obviously been one that I'm not too fond of, but, you know, I'm not going to get into it on here. but like, I just, they've done a really good job with casting lately. Like, and we've even mentioned it with Mighty Ducks Game Changers. Alex is a hockey mom. Like, they're doing really well with the casting of these characters and finding these characters. And I told my wife this, that if Anthony Mackie was not the Falcon, I could see him as the Black Panther.
Oh,
but obviously that's not going to happen. So,
You know, to dive a little bit more, it'll be interesting to see what they end up doing with Black Panther. It's, you know, there's rumors that Shuri will sort of take the throne, which is what she is projected to do based on the comics. But if there's one thing that we have sort of learned through, you know, a lot of this, is that they don't necessarily, these stuff that they bring over to the movies don't necessarily always correlate with exactly what the comics say. So I'll be interested to see what they do here. I had said, and I think we're both fans of the show, but Randall from This oh, is yeah. us. But unfortunately, you know, he's already been in there and he's already he's sort dead. Of, you know, had his course. So
he would have been a really good character.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And then I thought, well, geez, it would be cool to maybe see some of, you know, Chadwick Boseman's character as a young age. And then the young boy who's in This Is Us would also be an awesome choice, mm-hmm. you know, to sort of show that progression, watch him growing up, you know, seeing his father, you know, do all these things. Like, that would have been pretty cool too. But overall, you know, the Marvel's franchise, and I was sort of in a similar boat. Like, I'm still just getting really into these. I'm still starting to find my footing. I still find myself now, like, sort of watching Infinity War or Endgame and just going, oh my God, like, these are such incredible films. Like, they're so well done. Their comedic timing in a lot of the films is so spot on. Like, Thor Ragnarok, like, there are some funny bits in there. Like, no, we're friends from work. Like, you know,
my favorite one is when Loki is watching Thor get beat up by Hulk and he's just like, yes, yes, yes. He's like, oh, I just love the sport. I love the sport. That's
right. And I'm a huge fan of the sport. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the sport. I can tell. So it is. It's a lot of fun. I'm glad that you guys enjoyed them. I will definitely be interested for a couple things. The first one being, I know that Loki is Kathy's favorite character.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she's looking forward to his series. I'll be interested to see how that goes. Now, one thing that I sort of bashed, I haven't bashed it, but I didn't really like or don't like too much about Falcon and the Winter Soldier is there's a lot of dialogue. There's a lot of new characters that requires dialogue. So I'll be curious, like, and it was Marky Mark from Earth's Mightiest Weirdos who's like, were you expecting, you know, you loved WandaVision that had, you know, all this dialogue. And I thought about that comment a little bit and it was warranted. It was the conversation within that, like within a sitcom is sort of what a sitcom drives off of. And then those dry humor moments. But when I saw Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I thought, okay, this is going to be high action, high intensity. Mm-hmm. And that's that, you know, that's kind of what I sort of envisioned. But what I maybe didn't take into consideration when I was thinking about Falcon and the Winter Soldier was if I'm looking at it from like a movie perspective and like we're starting in the beginning and we have this buildup, things do go slow. They do talk a lot. So I'm trying to look at it that way now. Mm-hmm. And I may even go back and rewatch the first few episodes and try to look at it that way. And I think this last episode and that last moment with the new Captain America with the dripping blood off of the shield, I said, okay, this is the moment. Like they can either go from here and do really well or they've hit their peak. Like this is the coolest moment. And now it's just going to start to fizzle off into other storylines that will be bigger movies later on. So it'll be interesting to see what they end up doing. I'm really sort of curious what they end up doing, because I think it's this next episode is make or break for me. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. I can agree with you on that one. I really enjoy the characters they have, but it's just almost like they're trying to bring it too much.
Yeah.
Like it's just like you don't need like all these characters. Like it's supposed to just be about Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And WandaVision, I'll use that as an example. There's very few extra characters. Like they added the kids and then they added Agatha, who was in the series the whole time.
Right.
And
that was it. They really didn't sway too much further out than that. And the side characters that they did introduce had very minimal dialogue. Mm-hmm. You didn't really need to know them to know the story that was going on. And that was that. Like, I agree. Like, they're bringing in these characters. And I think they're appealing to the person who is deep in sort of their comic book knowledge of the show. Which, as someone who didn't watch that, I can say I don't really care for. But I can appreciate that they're trying to appeal to that medium and that mass. So I can appreciate that. But it is what it is at the end of the day. But I'm excited for Kathy in terms of Loki. I'm sure that she'll enjoy that. And that's another show that I think that will warrant a little bit more dialogue. Like Loki is a god of mischief. Like he's going to mess around. He's going to talk himself out of things. And it's going to be interesting to see how he does that. So go ahead.
Oh no, I just wanted to tell you her favorite scene with Loki. And it's, I think it's the second Thor where his mother dies.
Yeah.
And you see, like, Thor goes down to Loki in his prison, basically, mm-hmm. and tells him, like, knock it off. I want to see what you're actually feeling right now.
Right.
And that was, like, the first scene where you see Loki's, like, an actual person. Mm-hmm. Because he's so broken, because his mother was always there for him. Even when he was in the prison, his mother would go down and check on him, make sure he was okay. And for him to lose that person, you know, it shook him to his core, yeah. you know, and Thor is, I think they're starting to really become brothers, like they should have been all along.
Yeah,
we've seen that definitely. In Thor Ragnarok, where they have like this, it's almost like a brother's relationship where, you know, one of them's going to screw around the entire time, but you know, they love each other deep down. And
oh yeah.
She is just really gone on to that character. And Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah.
She loves him. So,
yeah, it's the one thing that I will say about both Thor and Loki that I really enjoy is they both have complex emotions. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, and you sort of touched on it earlier, and I'm just maybe digging into it a little bit more, but like the fact that, you know, you see Thor go from unworthy to worthy to, you know, suddenly dealing with this, you know, not depression. I don't know that it was that, but he was just so upset about the loss and like the team and the team element of it that, you know, he went into this, you know, drunkenness state and just sort of let himself go. But when he goes back to Asgard, he sees his mom, you know, he calls for Mjolnir and there it comes. Like, he's like, I'm still worthy, you know? So, and I think it's a true testament to just every human emotion that I think we deal with at some point. And that to me was a really cool moment. It's and sort of like you mentioned with Loki, to see him breaking down and see him be vulnerable was something that we hadn't seen. So it really did. It brought a human element to someone that is seen as a god. So that was really pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
For sure. The other thing I'm excited for is that you're going to watch Star Wars. That's pretty cool.
We're gonna work on it here soon. The only thing that we've got going on, well, actually, the next month we have nothing because we don't have another Solar Bear game until the 3rd or something like that. It's a while off, so we're trying to fill the void right now.
Yeah. So I'll be excited to hear about that. I think there's a different recommendation from everybody, but I would start with the original trilogy. And then go back to the, you know, the 1, 2, and 3, go back and watch those. And then I would go and watch the Rey series that Disney put out. And I would just say this, like, if nothing else, I think it provides a great story. And if you can get past some of the sci-fi elements of it, it's actually really quite good. So I think you guys will enjoy it.
So just after the episode, just send me what you think is the best way to watch them. And that way I can make sure we're watching it the right way. So
there we go. All right. Perfect. So John, let's jump into really why I brought you onto the show. I wanted to talk about your that Solar Bear fan TikTok. I wanted to talk to you about hockey. I wanted to talk about the fact that it was yesterday. So Monday was the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. And I the one thing that almost really upsets me about hockey is I've been a hockey fan for a very long time, for those of you that don't know. And I can remember at a really young age, the Boston Bruins was like my secondary babysitter, because on Tuesday nights, my mother would go to work, and Tuesday night, there would almost always be a hockey game on. It would be the Boston Bruins against anybody else in the world. And my father would say to me, all right, you can stay up past the first period. There you go. You know, and just stay quiet. You know, you can cheer when they score, you can boo when they, you know, but just be quiet and you can stay up and watch the game. And I can remember, I wouldn't say a peep except for like, maybe like, yeah, if they would score. And I would maybe get to like the end of the, like the last 5 to 10 minutes of the third period. And he'd be like, all right, they're winning, go to bed. or my mom would pull in the driveway and he'd be like, all right, go to bed.
Go to bed now. Go.
I'd have to run upstairs and get under the covers quick. But let me start here with you, John. How did hockey start for you, and how did it continue throughout life?
Well, it all started at a ECHL hockey game. Okay. My mom's boss gave us free tickets, and the coolest thing, and hopefully you and Jen will be able to see it at some point when you come over to our house. Yeah. I actually have the picture of me at my first hockey game, which is like something that I actually cherish. It's like I was literally sitting on a fire escape thing at the game to be able to watch the game. And it's just like, I can see like the pure joy in my face, like as I'm watching the game. It got me into skating at the age of 5. My dad tried to learn how to skate, did not go well. My dad just fell on his butt a lot, but I give him credit for trying. He was trying to always be that dad, you know, the dad that's there no matter what, you know?
Yeah.
And I give my parents credit. They were literally there for everything. Like my parents, like through baseball and hockey, they were there through everything. My dad made me promises along the way. You know, I think I've talked about this on my TikTok, like where he promised me that if the Penguins, when the Penguins were absolutely terrible, that if they ever made the Stanley Cup finals, he would take me. 2008 rolled around and I looked at my dad and I was like, you remember that promise? And he was like, he had to spend the money, but we still went to the game. We still had so much fun. And like the sport of hockey, I've grown so many friends, like even including you, like with hockey, it's just, it's a big family. It feels like, even though you may not cheer for the same team or the same colors, you still all have that love for the sport. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of the other sports hate on us, and I'm not sure why. Like, we're just trying to, you know, grow our fan base, you know, get more people like sport, the sport. And it's something that I'm always going to enjoy. And for my TikTok, like, things have grown at a quicker pace than I could ever have imagined. I've been on since like December, and I'm now up to almost 2,000 followers. And I know that might not seem like a lot to some people, but I didn't
I got it at just about 2,000 followers, and you have about 48,000 likes, which is pretty cool. That's awesome, dude.
I would have never thought in a million years that 2,000 people would want to follow me and like hear my thoughts on things.
Right.
I had a kid the other day that was like, okay, what do you feel about like the Taylor Hall trade with the Bruins? Like, can you tell me what you think? And I'm just like, it blows my mind that people want my opinion on things. And every day I tell Kathy, like I even posted a video the other day, like I went through a lot as a kid, and hockey was always my outlet. Even when I got picked on for said thing, like I got picked on all throughout junior high, elementary school for liking hockey. And then the Penguins got good. And then everyone was like, oh, we're going to be your friend now, 'cause you know everything about it. And I'm just like, I don't want to be your friend. Like you picked on me for 5 years. Like, no, I'm not going to be your friend now.
Exactly. But
it's just in my darkest moments, I could always turn to hockey as like something that I could do. I mean, when you mentioned, you know, your dad would let you stay up and watch the games, my dad would do the same thing. And he, to this day, he does not know about this. I had a radio in my bed where I would flip it to the game. Well, since he told me to go to bed, and I would listen to the rest of the game on the radio. Awesome. It's been there for me, and to have people want to talk to me about it. And like, even with the podcast and with you, with like everything involved with the sport, it's just, it's crazy to me how things have grown since I've started, you know, like actually talking about the sport that I love the most.
Yeah. No. And like I said, I think it, part of the reason why I wanted to bring you on here, because I think it's really cool that you're just doing something that you enjoy. And I think that's something that I sort of preach on this show is do the stuff that you enjoy when you're at Disney. But with Disney and ESPN sort of being under the same umbrella, the recent deal with the NHL, I thought it would be fitting to sort of bring you on and talk about that, because the one thing that I found, and as a hockey fan myself, I found is ESPN does a absolutely terrible, and I would use other terms if I was on your show. they've done an absolutely terrible job of representing the sport in a way that, like they do for basketball or football or even baseball, which oh my God, is that a boring sport? Unless you're in the middle of October and you're watching you know, a Red Sox Yankees game 5, game 6. It's like, this is like, okay, they throw the ball, they hit the ball, they catch the ball, they throw it back.
Too many games in baseball.
Right. It's way too many games. The games are, I think the games are too long. But hockey, is so is like the polar opposite. It's fast paced. It's quick. They're like their players are immensely strong and agile and well balanced. And the fact that it doesn't get any love absolutely baffles me. Do you have any thoughts as to why or what could be like, what do you think is holding back the NHL from being more of a powerhouse like an NFL or an NBA?
I think part of the issue is like you kind of said, exposure. Yeah. A lot of people know hockey's there, but they've never actually been to a hockey game. Or a lot of kids want to play hockey, but their parents see how much hockey costs. Hockey's not a cheap sport. As much as I love it, it's not a cheap sport, especially if you want to play something like goalie or something like that. You're going to spend probably $1,000 to $1,500 on gear. And it's a lot easier for a parent to be like, oh, well, why don't you play baseball? Where it costs them maybe $1,000 for the entire season, including the equipment. Yeah. There has to be a way that hockey can reach out. And they're starting to do this through programs like the teams where they give the kid his first set of equipment.
Right.
And they can go out and they can test it out, see if they like it, and then that's it. If they don't like it, then whatever. But there are some kids that are coming from these programs that are playing at Division I schools now. Mm-hmm. And it hockey has to – they have to do it a different way. They can't be like the other sports. The good thing that I've heard from the ESPN deal is that they're talking about a lot more streaming. So the good thing about that is if you have ESPN Plus, which I think is what, $5.99, $4.99 if you don't bundle it with Disney Plus.
Something like that. I think it's $4.99.
Yeah. That is where the world is headed. As much as, you know, everybody else wants to ignore it, the NFL, the NBA, all them, that's where the world is headed, is to a completely streaming world where everyone's going to watch sports on streams. They're going to be watching everything like that. And I think that's the one good thing coming out of this ESPN contract. Yesterday during the trade deadline, instead of me having to go through like my computer, plugging in my computer to my TV, everything else, I literally just flipped on ESPN Plus and they had the trade deadline trade center from TSN in Canada. So I was sitting there watching that all day long. And it's so they're, I think ESPN's really going to try hard to bring hockey back the way it should be, because the NHL does a terrible job of marketing its players. We've talked about it.
Yes, absolutely. I completely agree. And that was, I did take a couple notes. I know this was really supposed to be agenda free, but I put down star of the league.
Yeah. Like,
you know, when you look at the league as a whole, unless you're just a huge fan of your team there, you don't look around the league, and there's maybe one or two names that immediately come to mind for me. But when you look around the league, there isn't someone who just like sticks out as the face.
Yeah.
And the one face that I can think of, you know, isn't like a Mike Trout of baseball. Like he's not a handsome guy. It's not the Tom Brady's, like, it's not someone who's overly good looking. You know, Alex Ovechkin is the face that I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
And he's got a mug on him. He's not by any stretch like attractive. So he doesn't appeal to, you know, sort of that sort of masses, you know what I mean? So is there, in your opinion, is there a star of the league that, you know, just isn't marketing or branding himself right for the league?
I mean, the problem with a lot of hockey players, and this has been an issue for a while, is hockey players have the personality of like a chicken noodle soup. Like they don't have personality. It's terrible. Like, yeah. I'm not kidding you. Like, there was a picture of Connor McDavid, who's another star of the league, and he looks like it was between like two Asian descent people, and like Connor McDavid's like this. Like, I don't know if you're like, he looks like he's like so uncomfortable. And I'm just like, these players have to learn to be more social, to talk to people, to like want to grow the game. And there are some people that are like that. But the problem is the personalities that are in our game get shut down. Like, I'll use PK Subban as an example. He has a huge personality, but there's people that hate him for that. And I'm like, we can't continue to do this. Like, if a guy has a personality, show it off. Like, when we had Ryan Reeves, I know he's just an enforcer, but he literally got a shirt made with Phil Kessel that looked like he was like the album cover with Michael Jackson. That's personality. That's what you need to show. I understand that we need to show off our best players, but show off these guys that have personality, that somebody that's new to the sport can run to their Instagram and go follow them and like follow their TikTok, follow everything that they do. And then that grows the game in general, because they'll be like, oh, well, I want to go watch this guy play. So when they're when you know the Boston Bruins come to town, like they have to, you have to go ahead and promote these players. And it's sad when on my podcast we talked about this. The personalities that I think of in the NHL are guys that are retired and on podcasts.
Right.
Like I use Spitting Chicklets a lot, and they those two guys have grown the sport in leaps and bounds. Ryan Whitney, because of his alcohol, Pink Whitney. Then Paul Bissonnette is another guy who has such a great personality, and he's somebody that you gravitate towards. Like when I met him, he was such a nice guy. You know, he talked to you. He didn't make you feel like you, you know, you're just a little insignificant person. He actually wanted to have a conversation with you. Right. And it's just a nice feeling to see some of these personalities. And I was of the camp of, you know, shut these people down. Like we don't need this in hockey. Like we've made it this far, but I finally have come around to the point, like we've got to grow the game at some point. Like we can't just stay stagnant.
Well, and the other thing too, is, I mean, the owners overall don't necessarily do a good job of promoting from the inside out either. You know, they don't, and maybe I don't know, it just feels like the league in general doesn't have a star that can put its face out and be like, and baseball struggles with this too, like for years I think everybody at least knew who Big Poppy was, but that was it. That was really like that was the big name. Mike Trout is another one. Like, he's this phenomenal baseball player. He's getting paid the most amount of money, but there's absolutely no representation of him.
Yeah, no advertisement at all.
Yeah. Zero. Like, and here's the thing that like surprises me out of that is, like, with baseball and hockey, unfortunately, like, they're two particular sports that can't necessarily survive without big mega deals with like companies like ESPN. And, you know, without getting eyes, I don't foresee a very long future. They'll still have a future because they're the NHL, they're the MLB. They'll have a future, but I look at the way that the NFL has progressed and how much they own in terms of real estate, in terms of time marketing, and like the faces of the league that they have. I mean, I think everybody at this point, like Patrick Mahomes is a name that everybody knows, but you know, I say Patrice Bergeron and people are like,
who is that? A manager at a local Target or something? Like,
exactly. And it's sad. It is. It's very sad because it is. It's such an awesome sport, and it's a sport that I think so many people would enjoy if they gave it a shot. But you know, like you said, the chicken noodle soup, which was really quite funny. You know, it's sort of true. Like the NHL just does not have. I can remember now. I'm gonna geek out for a little bit, but I can remember an interview with Chara, and it was gruesome. Like to try to get through like an interview with Chara and listen, it was just like, what did you just say?
That's another thing you have to realize with hockey players is there's a lot more hockey players that aren't from the United States or Canada. Mentioned Chara. He's from Slovakia.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't speak the language very well. Like he doesn't care about English. He speaks enough to get by. Ovechkin's the same way. Yep. And, you know, we've had stars in the league like Jagr and stuff like that can barely speak the language and they don't care to really. Right. But I just wish that we, like, every once in a while you'll see some personality from this guy and you're like, oh, that's so cool. Like he showed a little bit of himself, but like, that's another thing with hockey is our interviews are god awful. Like I did an interview with an ECHL player last week and I told you about this. He actually had a lot of personality and it was really fun to deal with because I was scared to death that I was going to get a guy that was going to be like, yeah, let's just get pucks in deep, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Like, and he was actually fun. And I had like a great conversation with him. And like, one of the things that's happened this year with the ECHL is we played the Florida Everblades 27 times. this season because of COVID. Yep. And I talked to him about it, and I mean, you can go back and see it on our, because we share the same account.
Yeah.
You can go back and see it. And I mentioned that 27 times, and his face is just like, oh God, I hate that team. Like, I'm so tired of seeing that logo on the other side.
I bet.
And it's funny when players do stuff like that and they don't even realize how funny it is. Cause I was like laughing inside. I'm trying not to laugh on the outside.
Right.
When the players show personality, people love it. Like, we have a goalie on our team in Orlando. He shows personality. Like, he won a game a little while ago and he danced going up the ice. And like, we won a game in overtime. He literally flew down the ice to go congratulate his teammates. Like, it's fun to watch that stuff happen. And people don't realize how kind-hearted hockey players are.
Oh,
everyone just sees us as these people that don't have teeth. Like, big man carry stick, score goal.
That's right.
And we're not like that. Like I mentioned, that goalie, like, he has a relationship with a fan. He will literally go and give his stick away to fans every time he's one of the three stars. That's, he goes cool. and gives his stick away to one of the like little kids in the crowd. He gets it. He gets that you need these little moments where you made that kid a fan for life.
Right.
Like, that kid goes home. I understand you just gave him like a $200 piece of equipment, but that kid is never going to forget that moment. Like, he's going to be like 40 years old at a game with his kids going, yo, well, I want to tell you a story about, you know, when I got a free stick from this goalie and like, and I was so happy. Like, that's what we need in our game. We need to grow it in a way where these players will go out into the public and talk to people, which is really hard right now because of COVID.
Right. That's true. And I think you bring up a really cool point. And maybe they don't do a good enough job like advertising this or just, you know, putting this out in the interwebs. But whenever I see one of the, you know, a player give away a stick or giving the fist bumps to the kids as they as he walks by, like, oh my God, like, you know, just awesome moments within that. And yeah, at the end of the day, I don't think there are better, you know, humans than the hockey players when they do that stuff, and just athletes in general. And I realize, you know, for a lot of the Wolfpack today, this episode's going to be really different, but I wanted to just take some time and talk about something that I really enjoy. I don't get to do this very often. And, you know, you sort of provide the outlet to do that. So I appreciate you doing that. But this, you know, with hockey, it was always, I mean, we had a pond in my back, like, a short walk away in the backyard of my house, and we would go skating. And that was like such an awesome moment and such an awesome thing. Like, hockey was something that, or just skating and hockey and, you know, shooting a ball at a net or a puck at a net. Like, that was cool. Like, that was one of my favorite things to do as a kid. And I agree, like, creating moments like that. So I think my first game was a Worcester Ice Cats game.
Woo!
And very old. And the Worcester Ice Cats were the AHL team for the St. Louis Blues. And yeah, I mean, those were like the big thing to do. Like, you would see like two or three people that you knew from school there. Dads would see each other and be like, hey, what's going on? We're going
let's
to
get
see
a beer.
The Ice Cats game. Yeah, let's go. You know, and it was just cool. Like, I can't remember a whole lot of the players, but I can remember like the mascot. Like, he was really cool. His name was Scratch, and it was just something fun to do on like a Friday night after school with my dad. And, you know, my mom would go to work, and it was fun.
There's you mentioned EC, like the minor leagues, and there's this I don't know how to explain it. There's like this way people think about minor league sports, and I don't understand it. Like, I understand we have major league sports. I get it.
Right.
But I don't understand the condensation, I guess. Is that the word? Is that a word?
Yeah, I think so. I don't keep going and I'll try to figure out.
Okay, sorry. but like, I don't understand this, like, where people like hate on minor league sports. Like, if you have a local minor league sports team, go support them.
Yeah.
Like, it's a great night out. And a lot of these local sports teams aren't that expensive. Like, I know for us, for the Solar Bears, we have tickets that are $15.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And you can take your family of four, and, you know, I know that's still like $60, $70, but you're going to spend that at the movie theater too.
Right. Well, and here's the thing, like, for under $100, you're going to have an awesome time. You get to see a cool hockey game. You get to be like, I can remember, and I don't know if they still do this, but I can remember they would put out a big target in the middle of the ice, and you'd have, they'd give you, like, you could go buy rubber pucks and whoever, like, whoever got closest to the bullseye would get, like, you know, a season ticket pass or something that was minuscule, or, you know, I feel like, do you remember, on Nickelodeon, they used to have, like, Figure It Out, and the main prize was, like, this trip to NASA. Like, you could go to, like, NASA space camp. Like, I feel like that's kind of like the stuff that they would sort of give away. but no, like, I can remember my dad caught they had a magic eight ball, and it was this rubber ball, and if you caught the eight ball, they'd give you $100 gift card to Julian's pool and bar, and, like, that was kind of cool, billiards club. And he did that one time. Like, we would win, like, kind of crazy stuff here and there.
You win, like, these people don't realize that there is more to your ticket than just your ticket. Yeah. Like, for us, I know we have, if we score the first goal, you get 20% off First Watch, which is a local, like, kind of a franchise down here in Florida that is breakfast and lunch. If we get 35 shots on goal, you get buy one, get one burritos at Qdoba.
That's cool.
If they score three goals, there's a bar up the road called Harry Buffalo. It's kind of a dive bar, but whatever. Sure. You get free appetizer. You get a free pretzel and, like, cheese appetizer. And then they have another promo where if we score a goal in the third period, you get a free draft beer at Neon Beach, which is another bar up the road.
Like, that's cool.
Like, these people don't realize, like, yes, you're buying a $15 ticket.
Yeah.
But you're also, you get stuff with that ticket. Like, you can go save money as soon as you buy the ticket. Like, whenever we score three goals, like, me and Kathy go insane. Like, yeah, we're going to the bar after the game. Like, woohoo, free pretzels. Like, just stupid stuff. Yeah. And minor league sports, that's how they have to bring people in. Like, they have to do these deals with, you know, restaurants and bars and, you know.
Well, not only that, but they're keeping it local too, which I really like. They're not saying, I mean, Qdoba's probably, like, the biggest name that I heard out of that, but, like, they're saying, hey, here's this local establishment down the street. Go hang out and take it all in for a little while. Here's a free appetizer. Go get a beer. Yeah, go get, you know, a beer or two and enjoy the rest of your evening. Like, that's really cool marketing. I can always appreciate when places like that do stuff like that. Because it just puts money in a small business's pocket, and that's really cool.
Yeah, there's also what they've done with our games, and this is new. This just happened. They're giving away round trip airfare if a guy can make a shot from the other blue line, from the other blue line to the net.
That's cool.
So they're doing stuff to bring the people back in, and we just raised our capacity. I think we're up to, like, 3,000 or 4,000 fans now. That's and awesome. They finally, it's starting to feel like it's kind of going back to normal a little bit because, you know, there for the first part of the season, there was no one near you. And now, like, I can look to the right and there's somebody right there. I can look to the left. There's somebody right there. But I still have my room, like, around me that I can breathe and everything, which has been super duper nice. But at the same time, it's like, I'm missing that feeling of, like, you know, you get to meet the people beside you and, like, maybe you grow a friendship or something that.
And I think, you know, one of the things that I always loved, and I've been to a few Bruins games now, but, like, depending on where you're sitting and who you're sitting near, high fives are flying.
Oh,
like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, you're hooting and hollering. You're excited, you know. It's such a cool environment, and it's similar to, you said it earlier, but it's a big family. You know, the moment you sit down in your seat, and there are other people there that are fans of the same team as you, everything else kind of gets pushed aside. You're all family in that moment, just high-fiving and getting excited and being happy for your team. So very, very cool. John, I really appreciate you coming on and doing this with me. I wanted to take a moment to, you know, sort of plug the Five for Talking. Like I said, I've enjoyed the podcast. I have been listening. And I think one thing that I really enjoy about it is you guys bring an authentic look at the overall complex that is hockey. And you've had some good ideas come out of it too. So I appreciate you letting me sort of in a refined space hang out and talk a little hockey with you today. And I was just really excited too to talk about Game Changers with you because we're a few episodes in and I just wanted your thoughts. So tell the Wolfpack who has gotten to know you pretty well now, where can they find you on TikTok and where they can they find you everywhere else too?
Yeah. So if you're in more of a Disney listening mood, you can listen to me and my wife. We are Started with the Mouse podcast. We do talk. So just a little bit of a heads up. We do talk Universal and SeaWorld. We just went to the Mardi Gras festivities at Universal.
Tell us a little bit more about that and give them sort of a sneak preview. Because I had a question. You talked about the lanyard. Tell us a little bit about that too, because I'm curious.
So the lanyard is something they have one for non-pass holders and they have one for pass holders. It's 15 items at the Mardi Gras festival. So for those of you that have gone to Disney, it's kind of like the food and wine festival where they have the different booths set up around the park. Yeah. So we got the annual pass lanyard. It was 15 items for $65. So basically you can go around to the different booths and they scan your lanyard and it's you paying basically for those items.
Gotcha. Yep.
And basically everything's on the table. That's at these booths, that you can use it for. Like you can use it for an alcoholic beverage. You can use it for food. You can use it for whatever you want to use it for. It's all like the taste of like Louisiana, like the spicy taste. Like they do obviously have like Germany and other booths involved. But the entire like downtown little area that Universal has is all New Orleans type food. So like you got the beignets, you got the gumbo, you've got like they have this twisted tater.
Cajun shrimp, I'm sure.
Oh my God. It's so delicious.
Shrimp salad.
They've got like a crawfish boil, shrimp boil, like beignets. Yeah. So basically, if you love spicy food, it's really cool to check out.
Very cool.
And then also I wanted to talk to you about this or let your listeners know, we are going to be having one of the original Mighty Ducks on our show here in a couple of weeks.
Oh, that's exciting. I know about this. But I'm acting excited for everybody else.
I appreciate it. But we are going to be having one of the original Mighty Ducks on here in a few weeks after the series is out, because they're not allowed to talk about the series quite yet.
Okay.
Because Disney has them under a certain agreement. So.
Okay.
We're going to be talking
about telling almost, but that's cool.
Yeah. So, also, if you want to find me on Five for Talking as well, we're on everything. We're kind of, like you, we're on Anchor.
Nice.
So they've put everything out for us. So we've got that. If you want to find me on the TikTok, I am That Solar Bear Fan. I'm the guy that has an Orlando Solar Bear logo on my, picture. It basically is a guy with the glasses and he's got big muscles. But I really do appreciate coming on and talking hockey. I could sit here and talk hockey for hours with anybody. Like it doesn't bother me at this point. Like that's awesome. I enjoy doing it. So
yeah, no, absolutely. Like I said, it was, I had a plan for this particular week and I said, you know what? I really want to do something different. I actually maybe even stole a play out of Mark Valentine's playbook where he got to talk about musicals one week. I said, you know what? I really want to talk about hockey. And I said, there's no better person, in my opinion, to talk hockey with than you. So I was excited that you agreed. I appreciate it. Like I said, anytime I get to hang out with you, I'm always excited. And I do sort of have to give you a plug. I recorded an episode with Mark and Dwayne on Saturday, and it was how would we reconstruct a fifth gate? And I utilized your original idea of doing something with ESPN.
Yeah.
So I talked a little bit about that and I talked about how I would change that up and make it a more usable space. And so I appreciate you and you've got some great ideas and I gave you all the credit in the world for it because I thought it was an awesome idea. So
I appreciate it, sir. Like I said, I that is something that Disney, and we've talked about it before on your podcast, that they have really underutilized and they could do so much more with it and have, you know, so many more guests, especially right now, because there's so many adult teams and kids teams that aren't getting to play right now. And they could have tournaments down here at Disney, obviously the Disney-fied way, 6 feet, you know, mask, everything they need to do to make sure that they keep themselves, you know, in check, but they could have tournaments going right. Disney could be making a bunch more money on these tournaments, but they just,
sure could.
There's not somebody leading the helm right now that I feel like understands it. Like we've talked about it before. I like Michael Eisner. He is taking over Topps Sports Cards now. I found that out. So he was somebody that I think always enjoyed sports. And I just think that part of Disney is starting to fade away and it kills me. because that was something that they did throughout the 90s. They incorporated sports with Disney, and I don't want to see that part of Disney fall off.
Yep. So, well, sir, thank you so very, very much. As always, I really appreciate hanging out with you. Wolfpack, go check out John, that Solar Bear fan on TikTok. He's got the Five for Talking podcast, which is on Apple, Spotify, anywhere else that you can hear a podcast. And last but not least, and it's my favorite of you guys, it's Started with a Mouse podcast. It's one of my favorite shows to still listen to, you guys. So I'm glad you guys are still going. I appreciate you guys putting out content because it gives me something more to listen to and
keeps you busy at work.
Oh, definitely. And as always, I hope you know that I love you. I care about you. You should know that up here in Massachusetts, there's talk of snow on Friday. Oh, no. So I'm real excited about it. That's ultimately what I should tell you. But what's your weather? I do this for Jen. So what does your weather look like on Friday? Because ours right now has a big snowflake.
Well, yeah. So I want to tell you a little bit of a story. You know, Joe.
Yeah.
So Friday, we're looking at like 78 degrees and rainy. So not too bad.
All right.
But Joe actually was here this week. His flight got canceled
Sunday
afternoon because we had terrible storms coming through the area.
Gotcha.
He actually ended up having to stay till today because Southwest had like canceled all the flights on Sunday and they had to put all these people on flights Monday and Tuesday. Oh, and man. And I was like, did they compensate you at all? Like, and he told me they did not compensate them at all. Like, they basically told him it's due to weather. There's nothing we can do. And I'm just like, I would have lost it.
Yeah, that would not have flown with me. I would not have been happy.
I would have not have been happy either, but I give him credit for being a soldier about it and being a little, you know.
Yeah. Dang. That's not fun. Not fun at all. Well, hopefully he gets home soon. Joe, it sounds to me like we've got to get you back on the show soon so we can talk about your most recent Disney trip. So let's get in contact and let's make that happen. But as always, Wolfpack, you know, please go check out our friends, John and Kathy. They're great people. They're good friends of my show. And I love being on theirs as well. And yeah, if there's a spot on Five for Talking for
there's gonna be a spot for you. Don't worry.
Trailer
don't worry.
Trash mouth like mine, you let me know.
also, I just want to throw this out there. Here in the coming weeks, we're gonna have Ethan on our show because we are gonna do a Jeopardy episode. So I'm gonna get in touch with you and we'll nail some dates down. I'm gonna have you and Joe and Kathy as the contestants. So
all right,
have a little bit of fun.
I'll take Disney for 500, Trebek. No, I look forward to that. As always, Wolfpack, please remember to be kind, wash your hands, and we will see you real soon.